Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations. This past year, children in our after-school Good News Club ministries and also children enrolled in our CEF mailbox program called the Truth Chasers Club all learned Bible lessons from the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts is a divinely inspired missionary history book and also a missionary handbook all rolled into one. Acts is a riveting account as the author Luke records for us through the Holy Spirit the spread of the gospel after Christ's ascension on the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem all the way to Rome, the very heart of the Roman Empire. The Book of Acts ends with a cliffhanger in Acts chapter 29 with the Apostle Paul awaiting his trial before Caesar, yet boldly and daily proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to both Jews and Gentiles alike, to whoever had ears to hear. Early this year on our radio program, we began by doing an airplane-level survey of an introduction to the Book of Acts. Then we dived into Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 that now together with Acts chapter 3 forms a triad focusing on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, it was about the promise of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, it was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And now in Acts chapter 3, we have the empowerment and witnessing by the Holy Spirit. But before we delve further into Acts chapter 3, we need to first understand the Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3 daily connection. The backdrop of Acts chapter 3 is actually found towards the end of Acts chapter 2, where the Bible says the believers were continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, praising God and having favor with all the people. And then Acts chapter 2 closes out in verse 47 by giving a ministry progress report saying, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Acts chapter 3 then picks up right where Acts chapter 2 left off, but focuses in on two of the disciples, Peter and John, as they went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer to pray. This was apparently not only Peter and John's daily custom, but their daily commitment and practice of prayer. In other words, the disciples of Jesus were daily prayed up and daily ready to proclaim out the gospel of Jesus Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit. Bill Alson, a ministry friend of mine, once said that ministry is what God does both in you and through you. Here we have in Acts chapter 2 and 3 a perfect example of this. God was preparing his people, his disciples, to do mighty things through them in proclaiming his name. But before God could work through them, he first needed to work in them. By the disciples' daily commitment to prayer and doctrine, the study of God's word, and the fellowship with one another as believers in Christ, God was at work in them and at the same time preparing them to continue to daily unleash the proclamation of the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ through them, all by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But what about us today? How many times have we prayed for God to do great things through us, to minister for him, to proclaim the gospel, and to teach and speak in Jesus' name? This is our prayer and our daily desire, but in order for God to work through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, we cannot overlook the daily connection of what God is daily desiring to do first do in us, also by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You see, God longs to work in us by our daily commitment to prayer, God's word, and fellowship with the believers, so that we can be ready both by, with, and through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for God to daily work not only in us, but also daily through us, all for his honor and all for his glory. The beginning of the account in Acts chapter 3 tells us that it was the ninth hour, 3 p.m., when Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, which is the time of the daily evening sacrifice and evening prayer for the Jewish people. Remember, this was the same time, 3 p.m., when the Lord Jesus, perhaps just a few months earlier, had died on the cross crying out, "It is finished," and the temple veil had been rent in two at the same time of the evening sacrifice. But here in Acts 3, we have at the same time the disciples were daily gathering together to pray, there was a certain man who was lame from birth, the scripture says, from his mother's womb, that was carried and was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms for all those who entered in. Here we have pictured for us just a normal day, as everyone was busy going daily about their routine. But today was going to be no ordinary day, because on this day, the Lord was going to do a beautiful thing at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. We all know the story of Peter and John and the lame man from here. The lame man looked to Peter and John to give him alms, to give him money. But Peter fastened his eyes on the lame man and said in turn, "Look on us." Then eagerly expecting some coins to clink into his hands, instead the lame man heard these words from the lips of Peter, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The scripture says that Peter then took him by the right hand, then lifted him up, and immediately the lame man's feet and ankle bones received strength. And then what did the lame man do? Well, it's everybody's favorite Sunday school song. He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. This man who had never walked a day in his life was now standing, walking, leaping, jumping, healed by the power of Jesus' name alone. This was nothing less than an outright miracle of God. The miracle was so notable, it could not be denied, even by the religious rulers. Everybody who went up to the temple knew this man who had sat daily at the beautiful gate asking for alms. And now here he is, the same lame man who, by the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth alone, this impotent man had been made whole. It was an absolute divine miracle. The late R.C. Sproul, on one of his former podcasts, once said that the purpose of miracles in the Bible is all about one thing: to verify the message of the word. In fact, he said that if you look in the scriptures, miracles are not strewn throughout the whole Bible with great regularity. Rather, they are clustered together for the purpose of a sign to the people that the messengers of God's word are true. For example, you have the miracles at the time of Moses to verify the message of redemption out of Exodus and the giving of the law. Then the next cluster of miracles is at the time of Elijah and Elisha to verify the message of the prophets, the spokesmen of God. But it's not until you come to the New Testament, to the time of Jesus, that you have the next and highest grouping of miracles in the whole of history. But all for what purpose? To verify that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal Logos, the Word of God, the very eternal Son of God. But where is the final grouping of miracles found in Scripture? What's right here? Here in the book of Acts. But again, for what purpose? To verify the message of the messengers, the disciples, the apostles of Jesus Christ, who are Christ's witnesses of Jesus' perfect holy life, his suffering death, and glorious resurrection, all unfolded and as was foretold according to the scriptures, God's holy word. So the very purpose of miracles in the book of Acts was a sign to the people, not for wonder or for amazement alone, but to prepare people's hearts to hear the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living and eternal Word of God. And that's what we see happening here. As a lame man held Peter and John for unspeakable joy, all the people ran together unto them in the porch in the temple that is called Solomon's, all greatly wondering and at the same time, ears wide open, ready to hear. Peter took one look at what was going on and, empowered by the Holy Spirit, catapulted on this miracle of God as an opportunity to proclaim the gospel and name the very name of Jesus. Peter said, "You men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" Peter then cut to the core of the gospel by looping back through the Old Testament patriarchs and prophecies that all pointed to the coming of Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. Peter said, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied. You denied the Holy One and the Just, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, who you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him, Jesus, has given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Recently, one of the children this year, enrolled in our Truth Chasers Club, sent in to us a handwritten letter about this very story that she had learned from Peter and John and the lame man from Acts chapter 3. This is what the little girl wrote. She said, "Peter and John wanted everyone to know it was God's power that healed the man. They were amazed that the man was healed. Peter also wanted the people to know that God's power would even have a more amazing way for people, and that was by people being saved from their sins." This 9-year-old little girl continued writing, saying, "God loves us so much, he made a way for our sins to be forgiven. Peter told all the people how to be saved from sin. It was through Jesus," she said. This little girl then continued on with her gospel message explanation. It's so good. She said, "Jesus grew up never doing any sin at all. Jesus willingly died because Jesus knew his death would make a way for our sin to be forgiven. Jesus died on the cross and was buried. On the third day, Jesus became alive again. Now he lives in heaven." Wow. This gospel message explanation by this 9-year-old girl, in its essence, was the very same message that the Apostle Peter proclaimed that day in the porch of Solomon's temple in Acts chapter 3. Peter proclaimed to the people that what they had done in ignorance and putting Jesus to death, God had planned all along and had proclaimed to them by the mouth of all the prophets that the Christ would suffer, die, and rise again has been so fulfilled. Peter's message to the people was not just to hear these words, but to respond by faith in Christ alone, believing in God's promised word about God's promised Son regarding the promise of God's forgiveness of sins. Peter declared to the people, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repentance and faith, you see, are two sides of the same coin, and is an evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life who has been quickened, made alive, and drawn to Christ. In other words, the work of the Holy Spirit in the proclamation of the gospel is the root, and repentance and faith in Christ alone, all by God's grace alone, is simply in us the fruit. Peter then, empowered by the Holy Spirit, closed out his message, reminding these Jewish people of not only the prophecies by the holy prophets, such as the one to come, who is better than Moses and all the prophets from Samuel on, but they were also the children of the prophets and the children of the covenant which God made to Abraham, that through Abraham's seed, God would bless all the families of the earth. So unto you first, Peter said, God raised up his son Jesus and sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Later on, we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, the next chapter, on that very day of the healing of the lame man and Peter's Holy Spirit's empowered an extemporaneous sermon proclaiming the gospel, that 5,000 people heard the word and believed. The 9-year-old girl that sent in her Truth Chasers Club letter that she had written out to us then closed out her letter by adding these words, "Because Peter told the crowd of Jesus' power and shared the message, many people believed in Jesus today." Then she said, "Remember, you don't have to be an adult to be saved or serve God. You serve God by how you live your life." Wow, what an amazing insight from a 9-year-old little girl who is a believer in Jesus Christ. So how do we daily live our lives for Jesus? By daily staying connected to Jesus through his word and in prayer and with his people, so that we are daily ready for God to work both in us and through us to proclaim the gospel message, to name the name of Jesus Christ to others, all by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the result? The Lord, all by his grace alone, daily adds to his church all those who would hear his word and believe. We appreciate so much you listening and also for your financial support for this weekly radio ministry. Perhaps some of you listening today would like to have additional resources in teaching the book of Acts to children. If so, for a gift of any amount, we would be glad to send to you a teacher's text and a full-color flashcard lesson series on God's Plan in Action, the Early Church. This series of lessons contains 6 Bible lessons with full script and teaching ideas to help children to learn the book of Acts. Just contact us with a gift of any amount at 309-688-9699. Again, that's 309-688-9699. And we will be glad to send to you this Book of Acts resource and teaching children as our gift to you. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations. And we hope you join us again next week as we continue our trek through the Book of Acts. Until then, may the Lord bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. Tell me.